Chapter 6, Skin and Its Appendages. Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Introduction. Skin, or integument, is the body's largest organ. It is approximately 1.6 to 1.9 square meters in average-sized adults. The term integumentary system describes the skin and its appendages, including the hair, nails, and skin glands. Structure of the skin. Skin is classified as a cutaneous membrane. It consists of two primary layers, the epidermis and dermis, joined by the dermal-epidermal junction. The hypodermis lies beneath the dermis. Thin skin covers most of the body surface and is 1 to 3 millimeters thick, while thick skin covers the soles and palms and is 4 to 5 millimeters thick. The epidermis is composed of a number of epithelial cell types. Keratinocytes constitute over 90% of cells present. They are the principal structural element of the outer skin and are sometimes called corneocytes after they are fully keratinized. Melanocytes are pigment-producing cells, 5% of the total, which contribute to skin color and filter out ultraviolet light. Epidermal dendritic cells, also called Langerhans cells, are branched antigen-presenting cells that play a role in immune response. Tactile epithelial cells, or Merkel cells, attach to sensory nerve endings to form light touch receptors. Epidermal cells can be found in up to 5 layers. 1. The stratum basale, or base layer, is a single layer of columnar cells. Stratum germinativum, or growth layer, is another name for stratum basale, or the stratum spinosum and stratum basale together. Only cells from the stratum basale undergo mitosis and then migrate through the outer layers until they are shed. 2. Stratum spinosum, or spiny layer, is made up of cells arranged in 8 to 10 layers, with desmosomes that pull cells into spiny shapes. These cells are rich in RNA. 3. Stratum granulosum, or granular layer, has cells arranged in 2 to 4 layers and is filled with keratohyalin granules. They contain high levels of lysosomal enzymes. 4. Stratum lucidum, or clear layer, is made up of cells filled with a keratin precursor called eliodin. This layer is absent in thin skin. 5. Stratum corneum, or horny layer, is the most superficial layer, consisting of dead cells filled with keratin. The stratum corneum is sometimes called the barrier area of the skin. In epidermal growth and repair, turnover or regeneration time refer to the time required for epidermal cells to form in the stratum basale and migrate to the skin surface, which is about 35 days. Epidermal growth factor, EGF, regulates epidermal growth and repair. A shortened turnover time will increase the thickness of the stratum corneum and result in callus formation. Normally, 10% to 12% of all cells in the stratum basale enter mitosis daily. Each group of 8 to 10 basal cells undergoing mitosis with their vertical columns of migrating keratinocytes is called an epidermal proliferating unit, or EPU. A dermo-epidermal junction is composed of a basement membrane with unique fibrous elements and a polysaccharide gel that serves to glue the epidermis to the dermis below. The junction serves as a partial barrier to the passage of some cells and large molecules. The dermis, sometimes called true skin, is much thicker than the epidermis and lies beneath it. It gives strength to the skin and serves as a reservoir storage area for water and electrolytes. The dermis contains various structures including erector pili muscles and hair follicles, sensory receptors, sweat and sebaceous glands, and blood vessels. The rich vascular supply of the dermis plays a critical role in temperature regulation. There are two layers of dermis. The papillary layer is composed of dermal papillae that project into the epidermis, which contain fine collagenous and elastic fibers. The papillary layer contains the dermal-epidermal junction and forms a unique pattern that gives individuals fingerprints. The reticular layer contains dense, interlacing white collagenous fibers and elastic fibers to make the skin tough yet stretchable. When this layer is processed from animal skin, it produces leather. The dermis does not continually shed and regenerate itself, as does the epidermis. Instead, during wound healing, fibroblasts begin forming an unusually dense mass of new connective fibers. If these are not replaced by normal tissue, this mass remains a scar. Cleavage, or Langer's lines, are patterns formed by the collagenous fibers of the reticular layer of the dermis. The hypodermis is the subcutaneous layer, or superficial fascia, located deep to the dermis. It forms a connection between skin and other structures, but is not part of the skin. Skin color. Melanin is the basic determinant of skin color, depending on the quantity, type, and distribution of melanin. Types of melanin include eumelanin, a group of dark brown, almost black melanins, and pheomelanin, a group of reddish and orange melanins. Melanin is formed from tyrosine by melanocytes. Melanocytes release melanin in packets called melanosomes, which are ingested by surrounding keratinocytes and form a cap over the nucleus. The congenital absence of melanin is called albinism. The pigment-producing process is regulated by tyrosinase, exposure to sunlight, UV radiation, and certain hormones, including melanocortins and ET1. Cumulative effects of UV exposure may produce age spots. Other pigments can affect skin color. Beta-carotene is a group of yellowish pigments from food that contribute to the color of the skin. Color changes also occur as a result of changes in blood flow due to hemoglobin. Redder skin color occurs when blood flow to skin increases, while a bluish color, known as cyanosis, can cause darkening when hemoglobin loses oxygen and gains carbon dioxide. In addition, bruising can cause a rainbow of different colors to appear in the skin. Finally, other pigments from cosmetics, tattoos, and bile pigments in jaundice also influence skin color. Functions of the skin. Skin is a vital organ having a multitude of functions. The most obvious function of skin is for protection. It serves as a physical barrier to microorganisms and chemical hazards, reduces the potential for mechanical trauma, prevents dehydration, and protects from excess UV exposure through the function of melanin. The primary way that skin acts as a protective barrier is through its surface film. This is an emulsified protective barrier formed by mixing of residue and secretions of sweat and sebaceous glands with sloughed epithelial cells from the skin surface. Shedding of the epithelial elements is called desquamation. The functions of the surface film include antibacterial and antifungal activity, lubrication, hydration of skin surface as a buffer against caustic irritants, and as a blockade of toxic agents. Its chemical composition consists of three components: epithelial elements, which contribute amino acids, sterols, and complex phospholipids; fatty acids, triglycerides, and waxes from sebum; water, ammonia, urea, and lactic and uric acid from sweat. Skin acts as a sophisticated sense organ. Somatic sensory receptors detect stimuli that permit us to detect pressure, touch, temperature, pain, and other general stimuli. Skin is supple and elastic, thus permitting change in body contours without injury. The skin has excretory function through sweating, which releases water and waste products such as urea, ammonia, and uric acid. The skin is vital in the production of the hormone vitamin D. Exposure of skin to UV light converts 7-dehydrocholesterol to cholecalciferol, which is a precursor to vitamin D. Blood transports this precursor to the liver and kidneys, where vitamin D is produced. This process and the end result fulfill the necessary steps required for vitamin D to be classified as a hormone. The skin aids in immunity, in that phagocytic cells destroy bacteria, while epidermal dendritic cells trigger helpful immune reaction working with helper T cells. Skin plays a critical role in the homeostasis of body temperature. To maintain homeostasis of body temperature, heat production must equal heat loss. Heat production occurs from the metabolism of foods in skeletal muscles and liver, though the chief determinant of heat production is the amount of muscular work being performed. Approximately 80% of heat loss occurs through the skin, while the remaining 20% occurs through the mucosa of the respiratory, digestive, and urinary tracts. Heat loss from the skin can be accomplished via evaporation, radiation, conduction, or convection as follows. Evaporation as a method of heat loss is especially important at high environmental temperatures when it is the only method by which heat can be lost from the skin. To evaporate any fluid, heat energy must be expended. Radiation is the transfer of heat from one object to another without actual contact. This is an important method of heat loss in cool environmental temperatures. Conduction is the transfer of heat to any substance in actual contact with the body. This method, however, accounts for relatively small amounts of heat loss. Convection is the transfer of heat away from a surface by movement of air. Like conduction, convection usually accounts for a small amount of heat loss. Homeostatic regulation of heat loss is accomplished through a negative feedback loop that controls heat loss from the skin. Receptors in the hypothalamus monitor the body's internal temperature. If the body temperature is increased, the hypothalamus sends a nervous signal to the sweat glands and blood vessels of the skin. The hypothalamus continues to act until the body's temperature returns to normal. Appendages of the skin. Hair, nails, and skin glands are all appendages of the skin. Hair is distributed over the entire body, except the palms of the hands and soles of the feet, and a few other small areas. The soft, fine coat of hair that exists before birth is called lanugo. The coarse pubic and axillary hair that develops at puberty is called terminal hair. Hair follicles and hair develop from the epidermis, where mitosis of the cells of the germinal matrix forms hairs. Papillae are clusters of capillaries under the germinal matrix. The root of the hair is that part that is embedded within the follicle of the dermis. The hair shaft is the visible part of the hair. The medulla is the inner core of hair, while the outer portion is called the cortex. The appearance of hair can be affected by a number of factors. The color of hair is the result of different amounts, distribution, and types of melanin in the cortex of hair. Hair growth and rest periods alternate. On average, hair on the head grows about 5 inches per year. Sebaceous glands attach to and secrete sebum, or skin oil, into the follicle to prevent damage to the hair. Male pattern baldness, known as androgenic alopecia, results from the combination of genetic tendency and male sex hormones. Nails consist of epidermal cells converted to hard keratin. The components of a nail include the nail body, which is the visible part of each nail, the root, which is the part of nail in the groove hidden by a fold of skin called the cuticle, the lunula, or moon-shaped white area nearest the root, the nail bed, which is a layer of epithelium under the nail body. The nail bed contains an abundant amount of blood vessels. In translucent nails, the nail bed appears pink. Nails may have pigmented streaks as well. The separation of a nail from the nail bed is called anachalysis. Nails grow by mitosis of cells in the stratum basale beneath the lunula. The average growth of nails is about 0.5 millimeters per week, or slightly over 1 inch per year. There are three kinds of skin glands: sweat, sebaceous, and ceruminous. Eccrine glands are a particular type of sweat gland. Being the most numerous sweat gland, eccrine glands are quite small and distributed over the total body surface, with the exception of a few small areas. They are simple, coiled, tubular glands and function throughout life. Eccrine glands secrete perspiration or sweat as well as eliminate wastes and help maintain a constant core temperature. The other kind of sweat gland is the apocrine gland, located deep in the subcutaneous layer. Apocrine glands are distributed in only a few areas: the axillae, the areola of the breast, and around the anus. They are large, often more than 5 millimeters in diameter, and are simple, branched, tubular glands. Apocrine glands begin to function at puberty. Their secretion shows cyclic changes in females with menstrual cycles. Sebaceous glands secrete sebum, the oily substance that keeps hair and skin soft and pliant. It also prevents excessive water loss from skin. The lipid components in sebum have antifungal activity. Sebaceous glands are simple, branched glands found in the dermis, except on the palms and soles, and their secretion increases in adolescence, which may lead to the formation of pimples and blackheads. Ceruminous glands are simple, coiled, tubular glands. They are modified apocrine sweat glands that empty their contents into external ear canal alone or with sebaceous glands. The mixed secretions of sebaceous and ceruminous glands is called cerumen, commonly called earwax. The function of cerumen is to protect the area from dehydration. Excess secretion can cause blockage of the ear canal and loss of hearing. Cycle of life, skin. In children, skin is smooth, unwrinkled, and characterized by elasticity and flexibility. Children's skin has few sweat glands and can heal rapidly. As children age and become adults, the development and activation of sebaceous and sweat glands occurs, along with increased sweat production, resulting in body odor and increased sebum production, which can cause acne. In old age, there is decreased sebaceous and sweat gland activity, resulting in wrinkling and a decrease in the body's ability to cool itself. The big picture, skin and the whole body. Skin is a major component of the body's structural framework. Skin defines the internal environment of the body. Its primary functions are support and protection.